Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Get this all squared away. We did a test, but then everyone else used the mic, so I got to make sure I'm in the right spot. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yep.
So my name is Chuck Smith, and I, as mentioned earlier, I attend at the UU, it used to be Atkinson Memorial, it was very easy to pronounce, and now I got UU Congregation at Willamette Falls, really on the hill above Willamette Falls, the Big Pink Church. So next Saturday, they are the host site for the cluster gathering, so please come by, you have a lot of fun. My topic of my words today was, got privilege, now what? So we'll try to delve into this idea. This started with as a worship associate, a reflection I had to do back in January, and sort of built upon from that. So as a worship associate, when you get to speak, you get about 5 minutes, and then when you're the main speaker, you get about 20. So I had to fill in some more spaces. So now we have a lot of pages to get through right here. It's interesting when you think about doing something, you think about the task, and then when you get to a moment like this and realize the power of the sacred moment that we have with each other, and not think about the nuts and bolts of what's going to happen next, how you light the candles, and who's going to sing what song, and just let the spirit of our connection be a part of what we're doing, and I think I'm there now, so let's see what happens. As a black man, being a member of a group that frequently bears the brunt of problems faced by our society, I was kind of quietly pleased that there was finally a major problem in our country that had nothing to do with me. What to do about Donald Trump as president of the United States? Now I realize, thanks to my wife Sheila, that I get a large dose of MSNBC, so this might skew my perspective. However, I'm certain there's a growing consensus that Donald Trump is a major problem for people. I do not personally know a single black person who admits to voting for him or even feels neutral about him. So that's enough for me. Donald Trump is a major problem, but I have the privilege of knowing that he is not black people's problem, I think. Us black folk have a plate full of American problems: devaluation, dehumanization, and mass incarceration of black men and women, inequities in health outcomes, education achievement, housing access, and economic opportunity, years of abuse and killings, compounded traumas over many generations, stripped away from our connections to our ancestral roots, and internalized self-hatred. The forces creating these problems were here long before Donald Trump showed up, and I'm privileged to know that he's not my problem, I think. Even though Donald Trump is not a black problem, we have a history of having to prove ourselves by being twice as good. We offer up the 44th president, and he demonstrated a level of grace, class, and integrity not seen in the office for most of our lifetimes. So we've reestablished the standard for the presidency and overwhelmingly voted for everyone but Trump. It's my privilege to announce today that his presidency is not our problem, I think. On the other hand, it's not like Trump's actions don't affect black people. Congressman John Lewis sent out an email back in February and implored me, even had my name at the top of the email, to do everything in my power to take on injustice. He may have written to you too, I don't know. Did you get one from him? Okay. Just when I was sure I could take a pass on the Donald Trump problem, I'm faced with the call to be an ally. I don't have a lot of experience being a formal ally. When you're part of a group that's often the target of society's problems, you don't have to think about what it means to be an ally to someone else's cause. Your plate's pretty full. Until black lives really mattered, I figured I didn't have to hone in my skills about being an ally for anybody else. Okay, so allow me to practice a little bit here. Here goes. I feel bad that you have this Donald Trump problem. This must be really difficult for you. You know, I believe in your cause. I hope it gets better for you soon. I wish there was something I could do. Get back with me and let me know if I can help out. I did go to social work school, so I, you know, went to that empathy class there. So being a good ally is pretty easy, no problem, I think. Then there's this Unitarian Universalist thing and those pesky principles that we have our children sing about and that we post in the most conspicuous places. Affirm and promote the inherent dignity and worth of every person. Justice, equity, and compassion for in human relations. Acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. The right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and in society at large. The goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. A free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Now, at first glance, these six principles seem to be fairly easy to apply, or at least fake it pretty well, since a lot of the work can be done within myself, more of an attitude thing. So I challenged myself a little bit to get my attitude straight when it comes to being a privileged ally. So here's four things that I found. First, get over my personal guilt about having privilege. It comes with the privilege package. Regardless of how I feel about it, focusing on my feelings and my privilege actually ends up taking the energy away from those who are facing injustice and unbalanced and exploitive privilege. So, I'm not going to feel guilty right now. Embrace my privilege so I can more fully appreciate it. When I allow myself to see my privilege from different angles, the features, the contours, the nuances, then I know it a little bit better. Those without privilege oftentimes can see the privilege of others more clearly. I think of it as a discovery journey. I can't truly see my privilege if my immediate reaction is to reject it or distance myself from it. Refer to my guidance about guilt. It seems a bit counterintuitive. However, if you jump into the deep end of a pool and you want to get back to the surface faster, you may be better off if you allow your energy to push you completely to the bottom and then spring yourself back up to the top. Completely immerse yourself in seeing and understanding your privilege. Here's my third insight. Be curious about my privilege. Find out where it comes from, how I got it, and how it has continued. In the Trump case, Black people have a long tradition of opposing and resisting those who sought to hurt us, despite their rhetoric. We tolerated those who could not bring themselves to display resistance, and we heaped a variety of punishments on those who actually colluded with the enemy. Ben Carson and Van Jones are clearly not feeling the love from Black people after their recent statements this past week or so. I'm certain that Black people who attempted to derail the Underground Railroad were not responded to much better than those who tried to profit from the Fugitive Slave Act of 1793 and 1850. My fourth one, be responsive to those who don't have privilege. I can be open to those who are trying to make sense of how people like themselves contributed to the election results. Their relatives, their friends, their neighbors, their co-workers, people who come in and out of their social circle. Being open, however, requires a little more than attitude. It's also a public act. I have to spend time to actually be open. I have to be still and be quiet while those without the privilege take the time and the space that they need, the space that is denied to them because they don't have the privilege of uncontested claim to be where they need to be and say what they need to say. I remember the energy and power of being part of a group of people that create a human path for our LGBT sisters and brothers of faith to enter the Portland Convention Center a couple years ago for a religious conference and to not be obstructed and assaulted by those who wish to express their privilege, to not be tolerant of those who are not in the majority, standing on the side of love. Maybe you were there too. It's nice and rainy, a wonderful Saturday morning. What else could we do? So far, so fun. However, I'm quite certain the principles of the UU come as a package. Otherwise, the introductory statement would say, we, the member congregations of the Unitarian Universalist Association, covenant to affirm and promote at least one of the following. Here's number 7. Affirm and promote respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. Just when I thought I was off the hook. This raises the stakes quite a bit. If we're all interdependent, and I'm asked to affirm and promote this idea, then I can't use the excuse that Donald Trump is not black people's problem. This brings me to my final two ally actions. Ask, how can I help? This is important. It's very easy to think that you know what is good for the best of someone else when you have privilege. After all, if all white people did what black people did in November, then they would be able to say with the privilege that Trump is not their problem, either because they voted differently or they were denied the right to vote through voter suppression laws. Unfortunately, when we have privilege, we don't see other people's circumstances any clearer than we see our own. There's a risk to insisting on providing unrequested help as an ally. If you remember the movie Remember the Titans, there's a scene where an interracial group of football players are out celebrating after a victory in downtown Reston, Virginia, early 1960s. A white teammate insisted that the group go into a local restaurant to eat over the objection of a black friend who knew better. The scene ends in humiliation for the black teammate who was denied entry through the front door, but only embarrassment for the white teammate who gets a glimpse of his newly discovered privilege. As allies, we have to consider how our actions may prompt retaliation and consequences for those who we are allied with after we return to the safety of our privileged places. Whether we are standing up for people being oppressed by family or community violence, or objecting to the current deportation practices of the U.S., we have to position ourselves to stand in the way of the fallout that our ally actions create. Who does it help to claim ourselves as a sanctuary city or state, then rest on the satisfaction that we made our statement and did not participate when the ICE officials came to decide to make an example of us and how to deal with these upstart sanctuaries? The man will come after you if you stand up. This brings me to my final ally action. Take on your own systems that are perpetuating your privilege. If we're going to pick a fight on behalf of someone as an ally, then stay around for the actual fight. Read the history of the opposition to the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850 and how Harriet Tubman operated in the Underground Railroad. This provides a foundation for what it takes to be prepared to act as a true ally. What you have to be prepared to do if you're going to call out the system of privilege of which you are a part. So, here are the 6 strategies that I discovered in my brief opportunities to be privileged. Get over your personal guilt about having privilege. Embrace your privilege so that you can more fully appreciate it. Be curious about your privilege. Be responsive to those who don't have your privilege. Ask, how can I help? And finally, take on your own systems that are perpetuating your privilege. And by the way, I got this pink hat from a friend of mine, thanks to my wife. And I went downtown recently to join thousands of women. Taking time to stand and march with others on their path seems like something that Brother John Lewis and our UU principals were instructing me to do as an ally. And I have this hat at the ready for the next time women call for me to stand with them. This I'm certain. Thank you.